Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I guess we'll start off by wishing everybody a belated Merry Christmas. I mean, Christmas was yesterday, but, you know, we still, the spirit is supposed to last all year long. So one more day, I think, is going to be just fine. So let's go ahead and check out the news. All right, and away we go. Let's start off with the latest thing first. You know, there's an explosion went off in Nashville, and there's a video, one frame. I shouldn't say a video. I've only seen one frame of this. And they said that it was a bomb. Now, at first, they didn't seem to know what it was that happened. But apparently, an RV drove into Nashville. It exploded, and it blew out windows in homes and offices. It was huge, but nobody knows why it happened. So they've scoured the area and they've shut down businesses, and now apparently they have a person of interest. So this is from Yahoo News, Stalwart. Yahoo News, actually this is from the Associated Press, through Yahoo News. And here is a story. Federal investigators have identified a person of interest in connection with the explosion that rocked downtown Nashville on Christmas Day. And we're searching a home associated with that person, law enforcement officials said on Saturday, earlier today. So we might get some answers out of this, but this is a very odd case. They've looked around. They couldn't find any other explosives in the area. It doesn't look like it killed anybody. And they said that it was here it is. The special agent in charge of FBI's Memphis field office said 250 agents, an analyst, and FBI staff working the case are making progress in the search for the person or people responsible for planting a bomb in a recreational vehicle that exploded along a mostly deserted street. Three people were injured. So nobody died from this. And also, nobody knows why it happened. Just really, really odd. Was it a statement? Was it maybe a test run? So pretty interesting to me. Further down in the story, law enforcement officials have said since shortly after the explosion occurred at around 6:30 a.m. that they believe the blast was intentional. They have not talked publicly about a possible target or motive. A hospital system said Saturday that it was experiencing network connection issues directly related in the Nashville explosion. South Charleston-based Thomas Health, which operates two hospitals, said on its Facebook page it didn't have an estimated time of restoration. It also says in the story that the explosion interrupted several things because part of the city was shut down, including the city's COVID-19 hotline, residential and cell phone service, 911 call centers. And it says that all of these are buildings that were damaged or affected because of this explosion. So maybe the intention of the explosion was to shut down these services. Maybe the intention was to say that these services were shut down. I can't say. All right. So another headline story that we have is about Dr. Fauci. And he has come out and he, in so many words, he's admitted to lying about COVID-19's herd immunity numbers in order to get support for the vaccine. So let's let's read the actual story so that you can get a, you can get your own, you know, idea about this. So this is from RT News. Fauci admits to lying about COVID-19 herd immunity threshold to manipulate public support for vaccine, moves goalposts to 90%. So to me, that's a very, you know, kind of manipulative headline. But let's read the actual story and get the facts that we can out of it. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the epidemiologist revered almost religiously as a hero by mainstream media outlet. Who wrote this? This is really slanted. I thought RT was better than this. But it's been a while since I've really read into their stories. Earlier this year, Fauci said 60-70%. Yeah, I remember when they were saying something like 50%. And then Fauci says 60-70%, a typical range for such a virus. But he moved the goalpost to 70-75% in television interviews about a month ago. Last week, he told CNBC that the magic number would be around 75%, 80%, 85%. So that's that's creeping upwards here. When pressed on the moving target in a New York Times interview, Fauci said he purposely revised his estimates gradually. The newspaper, which posted an article on Thursday, said Fauci changes answers partly based on science and partly based on his hunch that the country is finally ready to hear what he really thinks. When polls said only about half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity would take 70-75%, Fauci said. Fauci added that he doesn't know the real number, but he believes the range is 70-90%. He said it may take nearly 90%, but he won't give that number because Americans might be discouraged knowing that voluntary acceptance won't be high enough to reach that goal. What the hell is going on? Why is this guy the go-to person? You know, earlier this year, I brought up on the show about how Fauci lied to us about the masks. He said that the reason he said that we didn't need masks was because he wanted to save masks for the frontline workers, or he didn't think that there would be enough masks if everybody ran out and got a mask. So he just told everybody that masks don't do any good. You know, the article even says his answer was partly based on science and partly based on a hunch. You know, follow the science and the hunch. That's what you got to do. I don't trust any of these people. I mean, have they really given us any information that the most, you know, common knowledge having person would not come up with, right? Have they given us anything that anybody walking down the street who has just lived his life here in the U.S. and has a rudimentary understanding of how diseases are transmitted, have we gotten any information that we didn't have that you wouldn't have just come up with out of your own head? You know, well, if you are exposed to the virus, you're more likely to get it, right? I mean, is that the pinnacle of information that we get? You know, I mean, this stuff should have been shut down a long time ago. Not the businesses, the people, you know, fear-mongering about this stuff. They should have just said, you know, this is a new strain of flu, just like all the other ones that we've gotten, actually more benign than most of them, and just be careful, you know? And that's it. No, instead we shut down the entire, you know, businesses that are gone, never to return. Now we're talking about, oh, the stimulus bill. I'll get to that in a second. Dr. Fauci's colleague, Dr. Birx, is announcing her retirement. Announced it on Tuesday. Birx told Newsy, it's been a very difficult time. Here's why. Birx, who has worked, this is from Newsweek, Birx, who has worked in the federal government since 1980, was thrust into the spotlight this week as news broke that she had traveled and visited with family over the Thanksgiving weekend, even though officials urged people to stay home. the longtime civil servant is just one of several officials to face criticism for their apparent "do as I say, not as I do" behavior during the coronavirus pandemic. "I have to say this experience has been a bit overwhelming," she said. "I think what was done in the last week to my family, they've tried to be supportive, but to drag my family into this when my daughter hasn't left the house in 10 months, my parents have been isolated for 10 months. Is that the end of the sentence? Yeah. Okay. Burks added that she wants the Biden administration to be successful and will help in any role in which people think she can be helpful, and then retire. Oh, so wait. It was... All right. You know what? This is... We have some fake news on our hands here. And I have aided for a few seconds in the spreading of this fake news. I have been reading everywhere that she announced her retirement. So... She's retiring in the same way that anyone retires. At some point, I plan to retire. So, you know, this is fantastic. So you're getting my response on this in real time. So they're making it seem like she is paying the price for, you know, saying one thing and then doing another. She's retiring. She's announced her retirement. Everyone's like, yeah, get out of here. Yeah, you stink. But now, as I read the article and not just the headline, I'm seeing that she doesn't have this plan. Here, let me read this paragraph to you. This is insane. Have you not heard the story? Have you heard the story? Dr. Burks is retiring. Okay, that's what I've read everywhere. Here's her actual words. Burks added that she wants the Biden administration to be successful and will help in any role which people think she can be helpful, and then retire. It's not clear exactly when she plans to step down, but she said she plans to be helpful to President-elect Joe Biden's administration through a period of time. Oh my goodness, the BS that we endure. Look at that. I mean, they got me. I have been walking around for the past several days thinking, good, Burks is retiring out of shame. Because I've just read that. I haven't been interested in reading into that story. It's pretty cut and dry, right? Burks said, you got to stay home. And has it been one of the people who have been encouraging people not to visit family during the holidays. And then she goes out and visits her family. And then is amazed that they're getting criticism for it. Just astonished that people would be so cruel as to call them out for it. So she visits her family. And then the news comes out everywhere that she's retiring. And I read the story from Newsweek, which is sympathetic towards the left wing. And then it says here, it's not clear exactly when she plans to step down. But she said she plans to be helpful to the Biden, to President-elect Joe Biden's administration, quote unquote, through a period of time. Wow. What a load of horse spit. Well, if you haven't heard it already, you heard it here on How to Kill an Hour, that Dr. Burks is full of it and the news is full of it. What? Amazing. So she has no plans to retire. So she's facing no punishment for doing this other than the scorn. The scorn that she's getting. And she's certainly not happy about that. Good. I'm glad. You know, it's not like they're pelting you with rocks or something. They're just saying you're a hypocrite. And they're right. All right. Let's get to the COVID relief bill. You know, they've been talking about this as a $900 billion COVID relief bill. Now, they're saying it's $900 billion, but it's actually $2.3 trillion. The $900 billion part is to what they call COVID relief. The relief is the popularized part of the bill is that everyone's going to get $600. Now, the non-popularized part of the bill is how much money is going to foreign countries and how many millions of dollars is being wasted. Oh, man. You know, as usual, I'm running short on time. I've got to find this list. Come on. I've got it somewhere. I saved this thing. Anyway, just off the top of my head, if I can remember this correctly, just off the top of my head, in this insane spending bill, we were having, I think it was something like 10 million. I might be overestimating that because that sounds impossible, but it very well might not be, to Pakistan for gender studies. I mean, I don't know specifically what that entails. Do you know what that means, gender studies? I mean, what's to study? It's obvious, right? You just look at it. No, I get it. It's societal issues. But I mean, $10 million? Who are you paying to do this? And what are they doing specifically? And why does it take priority over COVID relief here in the U.S.? It's $10 million that we could get. Anyway, somebody did a calculation. I don't know how accurate it is. But it's like everybody could be getting, if they took the pork out of the bill, everybody could be getting, you know, like thousands of dollars rather than $600. And Trump actually, I mean, this guy, anybody else would have just probably passed it because they have been screaming about passing a COVID relief bill for a long time. And at first, Nancy Pelosi was getting all the heat for it. And then I saw some stories coming out saying it was Mitch McConnell's fault. And then they finally get it done. And so now it's going to Donald Trump's desk, right? And what choice does he have? If he passes it, all this pork goes through. I mean, it was like an uncountable amount of money goes to the Smithsonian, goes to the Kennedy Center, goes to all of these, you know, museums and to things that are not germane to paying your rent, right? Things that don't have anything to do with keeping the business open or you know, making it through the period that you don't have a job, that you're not making an income. So Trump has to either allow all that pork through or he can veto it and look like a bad guy, right? He says no, and now every news organization on the planet is going to say Trump has vetoed COVID relief. He doesn't care about average Americans. So what does this man do? He goes on television, has a massive press conference, and says that he's sending the bill back so they can give more money to the American people because $600 isn't enough, and he's demanding at least $2,000 in COVID relief for Americans, and he wants to get rid of the pork in the bill. Really, how hard is that, right? How hard is it to communicate? Well, it's getting tougher because when you have places like Twitter putting warnings basically on all of your tweets saying that this is disputed, this information is disputed. And then you have these phony fact checkers and these opinions, so-called disputing an innocuous tweet, or you have outright censorship like Facebook does, where videos are being banned, or you have the press refuse to cover your conference because, as they say, it's filled with so many lies even before they've seen the damn conference. So I guess it is a little bit tough when you're Donald Trump to get your message out. But he did it, and he's even got the liberals agreeing with him. He's even got AOC agreeing with him. Everybody knows that this is a garbage bill. And in fact, he did a great job because the headlines, which were supposed to read Trump veto, because this bill was so bad, there's no way he could have not vetoed it. And if he didn't veto it, then they probably would have, not even cared because they were getting so much money and so much in bailouts. pertaining to things that don't have anything to do with COVID relief. Other countries getting money, more money even than they've already gotten. I mean, just when I think about what that bill had in it, it annoys me to no end. So he vetoes the bill and says, no, I'm not doing it. And the headlines have not barely even mentioned it. I mean, this was so bad. He did the exact right thing. And he came out looking good again. You know, the Democrats, they always take it too far, don't they? Although, I can't just blame the Democrats because you've got the Republicans pass this thing too. And they added to it, actually. And they want Trump out of there. I know I've been saying this every week, but these neocons, they want Trump out probably just as much as the Democrats do. Because they don't like to share power. They like the game they're playing, you know, Republican versus Democrat. But as long as one of them gets in, they're not that concerned about it, right? They don't like somebody who isn't part of their clan getting in there and mucking things up. And that's what's happened. But Trump does have the support of the people behind him. And they've tried to separate that report, that rapport. And every time they do that, something like this happens. So Trump, again, comes out looking good. I think that he needs this right now. And he just came out with a tweet recently. Even if it came down to where Pence has to make the decision, I don't even know if I would trust Pence. I know that sounds paranoid, but he's a neocon too, right? Or at least he was. So maybe he's seen the light, but none of these guys... You know, people that seem like they converted over to Trump, like Chris Christie, and then he betrays Trump again. If you look at, I know that they have Ted Cruz making arguments for Trump. I don't know. That case got turned down. So who knows who you can trust nowadays. But I would largely look at the way that they voted on the Iraq War. And, you know, see how they vote on military spending and the way that they vote on that. And then that'll probably give you a pretty good sense of things. All right. So let's wrap this up. The election. Yes, the election is still going on. No, the election is not over, no matter who says it is, until Donald Trump actually concedes. This thing is still going on. He is having a huge rally. Trump is having a huge rally on the 6th of January in D.C. I am so interested to see where that's going. He put out a tweet recently putting representatives on notice. He said that any Republican that doesn't back me on this is going to basically face a primary challenger. I'm going to do everything in my power to back someone against you. And that is really hitting them where it hurts, which is in their re-elections. All right, so that's it, everybody. Hey, think about showing up in D.C. on the 6th. That should be really interesting. I feel like Trump's got something really big planned there. And this is our last show for the year. So we had a crazy 2020, and we'll do it again next year. So this is the Edman signing off. You can reach me, edman@email.com. This is the How to Kill an Hour radio show. Have a great weekend and have a happy new year. See ya. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn?